Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Neinkin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This week's program, we're going to be discussing the fact that Donald Trump now has the coronavirus. What's going to happen going forward in our view? What does this mean? I think it means he's in a lot of trouble. What are going to be the implications and what can we anticipate in the future? But also, what caused this? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what is how we Jews refer to God in Hebrew. It means the Holy One, blessed is He. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow a situation like this for Donald Trump? Why is he getting this type of judgment from God? We're going to describe it. But first, let me make one point clear to people. We, of course, have never liked Donald Trump. He's not a true right-winger, he's not a true conservative, he's not a true Republican, and he has no principles, he has no morals, and so we've never liked him. We supported Ted Cruz for the Republican presidential nomination, and there's no question Ted Cruz would have been a far superior president. But having said that, and having said how much we object to everything Donald Trump stands for, and we're going to be discussing that more during this program, he still is not as bad by any means as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are much worse. And so despite everything we're going to say in this program, which has to be said because we don't want people being blindly fooled, so we're going to have to criticize Trump and tell the truth about Trump on this program and tell the truth going forward so that maybe in the future there'll be some chance that somebody better will be selected eventually. And that people will know at least what to look for in a candidate and in a leader. But having said that, again, the choice right now is between Trump and Biden so far, unless Trump gets very ill or dies, which can happen. He's 74 years old, he's obese, who knows what will happen with his infection now. But right now it's Trump versus Biden, and in Trump versus Biden we have no choice but to vote for Donald Trump. So we do urge people to vote. If you have not voted yet, because there's early voting in many states, if you have not voted yet, you should vote either by mail or in person for Donald Trump. Not because he's good. He's not. He's a bad president. He's a bad leader. And we're going to go into a lot of the terrible aspects of his presidency and his leadership. Not because he's good, but because the other candidates, Biden and Kamala Harris, his opponents, are worse. And so we still urge people to vote for Donald Trump, even though I think he's going to lose. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to win. And I've said all along that I was pessimistic about his chances of winning. I said all along that I thought that he was going to blow this. So, but whatever will happen, we still have to do our part, and I do think that we should vote for Trump as a lesser of the evils. But not forget, even as we're voting for Trump as a lesser of the evils, let us never forget that a lesser of the evils is still evil. And Trump is evil. Why would God allow? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hebrew is the Holy One, blessed is He. That's how Jews refer to God, in one of the ways Jews refer to God in Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed is He. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to Trump 1 month before the election? What's the point here? Well, it certainly will humble him. Well, it should humble him. I doubt it will humble him. But it's meant at least for people who have any brains or who have eyes to see to know that the arrogance of Donald Trump and the super pride of Donald Trump. He's a stable genius. He's so great. He's the art of the deal. Nobody could ever do anything to him. He's invulnerable. All of that is something that God detests. God detests arrogance and egomania and megalomania, and Donald Trump represents all of that. He's so undeserving of all the attributes that he gives to himself and that his crazy followers give to him. He's not either stable or a genius. And he's a terrible leader. And he was a terrible businessman. We learned from the New York Nazi Times revealing of the taxes. And that was true with the New York Nazi Times. I hate the New York Nazi Times. I despise them. They're an evil newspaper. But as much as I hate them as a newspaper and as a website, and as much as I say I believe that we should boycott them, nevertheless, Trump's taxes were leaked to the Times. There's no question they were leaked to that evil media source. And we see there that Trump is a fake billionaire. He's drowning. He's drowning in hundreds of billions of dollars in debt that is coming due quickly, and long-term in billions of dollars in debt. He is a terrible businessman. He got himself deep into debt, deep underwater, which makes him, of course, very vulnerable to Russia and Putin and the Saudis and the Persian Gulf Arabs. And you see why. You see why he bows down to these people and defends them, even at great political cost. So Trump is in a lot of trouble financially. He's not a real billionaire even. Everything he did on his program, Art of the Deal, and that was his book, Art of the Deal, and The Apprentice was his program on TV. Everything he did was fake. Everything he did was a bluff. His whole life is one big bluff, one big lie. His whole life. What a great deal maker, what a great genius, how he made a big fortune. He didn't make a big fortune. He inherited a huge fortune from his father, who had a building empire in New York City. He inherited a huge amount of money from his father. And if he had just taken that money and put it in the top stocks on the Dow Jones Industrial, if he had just done that when his father passed away and gave him whatever he inherited from his father, then he'd be a real multi-billionaire now. Then he'd be worth $10, $20 billion now. But instead, he went forward with crazy things his companies went bankrupt four times, and he was deep in debt, and he's still deep in debt because he manages things terribly, because he's a schmuck. He's not a good leader, and he's not a good manager, and he's not a good businessman, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's a terrible president. But he arrogantly promotes himself as this great genius. But let's remember something. The thing that brought him down, because God doesn't really care about many of these other issues, is they're not the main. The central issue for God is Israel. What happens to Israel? What happens to Israel decides the destiny of the world, decides the destiny of nations and the destiny of the world. Because the Jews are God's chosen people. And the Jews are meant to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. They are meant to bring light to all other nations of the world and make all other nations realize that God is the God of the universe and he decides what happens in this world. And so things were going great for Donald Trump. He was boasting and things were going great for him economically. Of course, all of that economic rah, rah, rah that we saw before the coronavirus, where the economy was doing so well and unemployment was so low, and all of that really was also a bluff. Why was it a bluff? Because it was all based on massive debt, massive corporate debt, massive federal, state, and local government debt, massive pension fund debt, massive personal debt that people personally, Americans personally, are deeply in debt. Many Americans are deeply in debt. So this was based on huge debt. And debt, eventually somebody has to pay. Eventually it leads to an explosion, to a catastrophe. We saw a little taste of that during the Great Recession of 2008-2009. And that's nothing compared to what yet can come because of this mountain of debt that this country had. And that was something that Trump was building up. He was building it up and building it up as president at a far faster clip than Barack Hussein Obama. You know, the Republicans and the conservatives were always talking about Obama's debt, and Trump was always campaigning against Obama's debt, and Obama's going to bankrupt the country, and look at the big debt Obama's building. Trump and the Republicans in Congress were spending at a much faster rate than Obama, than the Democrats did. Unbelievable. And they got away with it. All the people who were so worried about debt and about the country going bankrupt and showing how much debt Obama had built up during his presidency were unconcerned about the fact that Trump was building up debt at a much faster rate than Obama. Then if it was Trump, it's okay. Trump doing the same terrible damage to the country doesn't bother these people. Whereas with Obama, which shows you why in many cases, sometimes the phony right can be worse than the left. Because with the phony right, you neutralize the conservatives and the others who were supposed to be the watchdogs of the economy and the watchdogs of debt and the watchdogs of big spending. And those people let their guard down and don't even pay attention if a Republican is in the White House, especially if it's a Republican they like. And so the economy, people thought the economy was going great, and the statistics that people rely upon, the stock market was at record highs, unemployment was lower than it had been in more than 50 years, and inflation was very low. The Federal Reserve, using debt, using massive printing of money, which someday will cost this country a lot, but the Federal Reserve was pumping billions into the economy, so we had a stock market boom. Unemployment went down to low numbers. People were working. And the economy seemed to be in good shape in the eyes of the American people. They didn't pay attention to the underlying debt problem. And so Trump could have run on that record, saying, look, I reduced the unemployment rate. Inflation is low. I gave you a stock market with record highs. You have a booming economy. He could have run on that record. Everything was looking great for him until the beginning of this year. Things were looking great. Then Trump did something that turned the whole thing around. He released his Middle East so-called peace plan. That filthy Semitic snake, Jared Kushner, Shem Reshaim Yirkab, may the name of the wicked rot. That filthy animal, that intermarried, assimilated, lowlife Jared Kushner, egotistical left-wing establishment lowlife Jared Kushner, released his so-called Middle East peace plan, which is national suicide for Israel, and got that traitor in Israel, the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who is not right-wing, who is a traitor to the Jewish people, got Netanyahu to go along with it. And most Jews who are so blind, and the so-called right-wing Jews in Israel do what the so-called right-wing people in America do. Just like the so-called right-wing people in America put on blinders when it comes to Donald Trump. If Donald Trump builds up debt, if Donald Trump promotes affirmative action, if Donald Trump does bad things, they put on blinders. They don't pay attention. If Donald Trump says on Fox News that it's great that we have same-sex marriage, that homosexuals can now get married, something which no Republican president would ever, even Obama would never said that. Obama was against same-sex marriage until 2010 that he reversed himself. But even Obama was against this. And the Clintons were against. The Clintons passed the Defense of Marriage Act opposing homosexual marriage. But we came to the point here where Trump legitimized and made kosher, so to speak, all of these abominations. He said it's great. It's great that Pete Buttigieg is married to another man. He thinks it's great. That's what he said on Fox News. And all of these immoral things that he was promoting, but all of that, the so-called right-wingers in America, they put on blinders because Trump said it. When Trump says it, it's okay. No matter what Trump does, what did Trump say? He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any votes. When Trump does something, they put on blinders. They don't care how much he violates ideology, philosophy, everything they stood for their whole lives. They'll dump it all in the river. As long as Trump, if it's Trump doing it, then it's got to be okay. And the same thing with Netanyahu and the so-called right-wingers in Israel. The so-called right-wingers in Israel do the same thing when it comes to Pee-Pee in Israel. We call Bibi Pee-Pee because he makes Pee-Pee every time he's under pressure. Anyway, Trump releases his Mideast suicide plan, which calls for the creation of an independent Palestine state. Even though there are no Palestinians and there is no Palestine, there's never been a Palestine in history, there's never been a Palestinian people in history, it's all a lie. But he calls for the creation of this Palestinian state, which is just an Arab terrorist state, in the heartland of biblical Israel, pushing Israel back to borders where Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide. Even forcing Israel to surrender parts of pre-1967 Israel in the Negev Desert. And freezing all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Creating a terrible situation for Israel, a nightmare scenario, which if anyone else, if Obama or anyone else had proposed this, everybody would be screaming and yelling, this is suicide, you want to destroy Israel, how can you propose this, you're an anti-Semite. If Obama had said this, or if Clinton had said this, or if some Democrat had said this, all the right-wing Jews would be screaming and yelling. And if it had been supported by an openly left-wing prime minister in Israel, all the right-wing in Israel, including Netanyahu, would be screaming and yelling, how can you do this? You're betraying Israel. You're sending us down the road to national suicide. This can lead to a Holocaust. This is insane. But when Trump and Netanyahu propose it, all of a sudden, it's okay. The same exact thing that if the left proposes it, everybody says, this is suicide, this is crazy. And they're right, by the way, for saying it's suicide. But the things they recognize when the left does something, when the phony right does it, it doesn't bother them. They assume anything Trump and Netanyahu do, it must be okay if Trump and Netanyahu did it. And it creates the so-called Palestine state, which is suicide for Israel in and of itself, creating a so-called state like this. And it would cut Israel in half. Israel would be cut in half because it would create a corridor that would go to the Arab terrorists in order to connect their state in Judea and Samaria with their new state in Gaza. And in order to make sure their new state is all connected, it would create a corridor running through Israel, which would cut Israel in half. Just insane. Insane. Things that no left-wing Israeli prime minister would ever have agreed to. Golda Meir said there's no Palestinian people and said a Palestinian state would be suicide. David Ben-Gurion, all left-wing prime ministers always told us this. Abba Eben in Hebrew. Abba Eben, who was the left-wing foreign minister in the socialist labor government, who was so left-wing, the Labour Party rejected him. He was so left-wing. And even he said that a retreat to these borders, creating a Palestinian state, a retreat to these borders, which are in effect the pre-1967 borders, a retreat to these borders would be a retreat to Auschwitz lines, Holocaust lines, suicide lines. This is Abba Eben saying this. So even the left said this is insane. But Netanyahu and Trump said it, so it must be okay. It's not okay. It was insane when the left said it was insane, when everybody said it was suicide in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. When they said it was suicide all those years, they were right. It is suicide. Israel cannot survive when she's 6 to 9 miles wide. Israel cannot survive with a corridor of land being handed over to Arab terrorists who would divide Israel in half. Israel cannot survive when Arab terrorists will be able to fire rockets into every Jewish home in Israel and will be a half a mile or a mile away from the Israeli airport to shoot down every Israeli plane and paralyze and shut down the country. No, it was suicide. All these years that every Israeli leader told us it was suicide, they were right, it was suicide. And it's suicide now, even though now Trump and Netanyahu are proposing it. It is suicide. It's insane. The only thing more insane is the Jews who are supporting it just because Trump and Netanyahu say it's okay. And Jared Kushner. And right after he proposed this, short time after he proposed this, all of a sudden, the coronavirus, which had been in China, comes to the United States. When he proposed this plan, there had not been a single case, I mean, single known case. I mean, now we now say that there might have been some, a couple of cases here and there in November, December. There might have been. Maybe. But there was not any known outbreaks or any known cases, certainly no known deaths from this. We didn't have any real outbreaks at this time. And it was something that still could have been kept under control. Trump himself said it could have been kept under control if certain steps had been taken. And steps had been taken, it might have been kept under control. There are countries which did keep it under control. Taiwan, which is right, a nation of 23 million people, which is right across the sea, a short distance from mainland China, they only had like, I think, 9 or 10 deaths in this whole time. 9 or 10 deaths, and they're right across from mainland China. So certain countries did succeed in keeping this under control. Who would have thought that in the United States, we'd have over 200,000 people dying from this? Over 200,000 people died already from this. And the whole country has been, our life has been turned upside down in the United States because of this. It didn't have to be like this. God decided to bring this, and it's not an accident that this was shortly after the Mideast so-called peace plan of Trump. His economy, which he was boasting about, came crashing down. Everything came crashing down, and people were speaking about another Great Depression. I mean, it was really, really a catastrophic situation where the whole economy was locked down. And that's not a coincidence. I will bless, it says in the book of, unless you think the Bible's a lie and you don't believe in God. But it says in the Bible, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. God promises Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Avotenu, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God promises them repeatedly. And he says it's a Brit Olam, he says in the Bible. Brit Olam means an eternal covenant he has with the Jewish people. Eternal. That law goes on forever. That if you bless the Jews, you'll be blessed. If you curse the Jews, you'll be cursed. And certainly, if you come forward and pressure Israel to accept a plan that constitutes national suicide, that would put, that first of all gets Israel to give up any of her land, you know, Israel's not allowed to give up 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter. Israel's not allowed to give up 1 grain of sand in the Holy Land of Israel. It's absolutely forbidden. Under any circumstances, Israel's not allowed to surrender any land at all. Israel's supposed to be liberating a lot more land, because the land of Israel in the Bible is from the Nile to the Euphrates. It's much bigger. The current state of Israel is not even 1/10 the size of what it should be. And for Israel to give up this, her biblical heartland, surrender all of this? And why freeze all Jewish building in Jerusalem? And why, and no declaration of sovereignty, that was stopped, that was thrown out. Obviously, for Israel to surrender everything, that's the plan. It's a plan of national surrender and suicide. And that's not going to bring God's anger upon the United States and upon Trump? Of course it will. Right after this, like just a few weeks after this, boom, the coronavirus strikes the United States, and then with a vengeance, and Trump can't control it. Not only can't control it, it was a mess. It was a colossal disaster. The United States wound up, despite what Trump says, the United States has the worst statistics on this. Okay, the United States is 4% of the world's population, and something like 20 or 25% of the deaths. Then Trump decided to add to his evil deeds. Again, he wants to prove what a deal maker he is at Israel's expense. So he decides he's going to add to his evil deeds by getting Israel to get, and Netanyahu was so anxious to do this because he wants to prove that he's making peace, and again, at the expense of Israel's security, because Netanyahu is another fraud. The only thing Netanyahu wants to do is stay out of prison because he's a corrupt, evil prime minister and he's under indictment right now. Netanyahu faces multiple indictments right now. And what he's been indicted for is the least the least of the things he's done to the Jewish people. He should be indicted for mass murder for all the horrible things he's done to the Jewish people over the years, and for treason. Instead, he's been indicted for, you know, for money things and doing, you know, trying to basically enrich himself illegally and misuse his office and abuse his power to enrich himself and to keep himself in power. That's basically what was indicted for. And of course, there's no question he's guilty. But Trump decided to follow up. Trump and Netanyahu decided to follow up now with new accords between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain are two Arab Nazi, Muslim Nazi countries that are committed to the destruction of the United States, of Israel, of all non-Muslim countries. They've always sponsored and given billions of dollars to every Muslim terrorist organization under the sun. They have the blood of many innocent people on their hands. And these two evil countries, which are really family businesses, because all they are just families that control land with populations, and they use their control, and they have huge oil resources, because stupid American infidels and others have allowed America to be dependent on foreign oil all these years. And so they got huge amounts of money from the sale of oil, these Persian Gulf oil countries. And so these two Persian Gulf oil countries decide to sign an agreement with Israel, telling Israel, okay, we will diplomatically recognize you. Wow! Wow! We're being diplomatically recognized by the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. Wow! Whoopee-doo! And in exchange, Israel just has to agree. No sovereignty for Jews in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. No Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Jews are not allowed to build. Jews are not allowed to move there. It's Judenrein for any new Jews that want to come in. Arabs are allowed to build everywhere throughout the state of Israel and the land of Israel, but Jews are not allowed. And again, a pledge, a solid pledge that you have to support, and that this diplomatic recognition we're giving you is conditioned upon you following through and creating a so-called Palestinian state. You got to create a so-called Palestinian state and give up all this land. Again, Netanyahu commits Israel to giving up all their land and creating a Palestinian state, and Trump commits the United States to pursuing that goal as well. Disastrous for Israel. Disastrous! Not only that, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain are pursuing nuclear programs to build nuclear bombs. They say it's a reaction to Iran building nuclear bombs, which it is, but doesn't matter. This legitimizes their nuclear bomb-making program. If they have peace with Israel and diplomatic relations and they've pleased Washington, nobody's going to bother them when they acquire nuclear weapons. We're going to say, well, listen, you know, they had to have nuclear weapons. What did Trump say when he was running for president in 2016? He said Saudi Arabia, all these other countries getting nuclear weapons. It's inevitable anyway. What are you worried about? It's inevitable. Let them get the nuclear weapons. That's what Trump said. And Trump promises them historic, massive U.S. arms sales with the most sophisticated U.S. technology that Jewish geniuses, that Jewish scientific geniuses created for the United States military. Because most of the advanced technology created in the United States is created by Jews, by brilliant Jews. And so they're making nuclear bombs. And the United Arab Emirates already has an active nuclear reactor, which is a big step forward on the road to making nuclear bombs. And they're going to get massive U.S. technology and arms transfers, the most advanced U.S. technology and arms transfers, which certainly will endanger Israel, and which also means that Arab terrorists will eventually have access to that, because these two nations support Arab terrorist groups. And no Jewish building. And on top of all of that, if it's as if that's not enough, they can buy up now the Israeli economy. They're already talking about buying the entire strategic port of Haifa in English, Haifa, which is a strategic port on the Mediterranean Sea, one of Israel's most strategic ports. And the port already, the United Arab Emirates has expressed an interest in buying the port in Haifa. in buying Israeli, all types of Israeli technology companies, and they want to buy up the Israeli economy like they're doing with the American economy. They've already bought up huge segments of the American economy, which is why they're influencing American foreign policy to the detriment of the American people and to the benefit of Muslims, who are committed to a worldwide jihad against all non-Muslim infidels. And they want to do that to the Israeli economy, buy up all of this Jewish brain, all the Jewish brain power that has created advanced Israeli, because the Israelis have very advanced technology. They have more startup companies per capita by far than any country in the world. I mean, way ahead of everyone else. And the Arabs, who have no brains, they have they have virtually no scientists, no technology advances, nothing. They get the oil that the infidels drill for them. They take the oil and buy, with the oil, they buy what Western nations have developed. And they want to do that in Israel. They want to buy up everything in Israel and control Israel's economy from within so that they can use it to destroy Israel in the end. I mean, what a catastrophe this would be for Israel. They're going to buy up the port in Haifa. They're going to buy up Israel's technology companies. They're going to buy up all the key sectors of the Israeli economy. I mean, in 24 hours, they have enough money, enough oil money, to buy up all of Israel's stock exchange. They could buy the whole stock exchange in Israel and completely destroy the entire Israeli economy if they want to. And all of this is made possible by diplomatic. If you didn't have diplomatic relations, then they couldn't do it. This agreement is a disaster for Israel, very dangerous, and a disaster in every respect. Over and over again, God warns, you are not to make britot, you're not to make covenants with the nations in the Middle East, with the nations in the land of Israel. You are not to make covenants with them. You're not to have any covenants with them. We're not supposed to have agreements or covenants with these nations. Because God's plan is a plan where the Jews are going to liberate the land of Israel. And the Jews are going to defeat these countries. And the Jews are going to prove that the Bible is true and the Quran is a lie. The Muslim Quran is a lie and the Jewish Bible is true. And that Judaism is the truth and Islam is a lie. That's what all of this is about. To prove this to the whole world, and through that to prove that God controls the world and the destiny of the world. But all of that is defeated by what Netanyahu, the atheist, and Trump, who's also basically an atheist, you know, Trump never read the Bible. Trump could not quote a single verse in the Bible. He didn't know a single verse in the Bible. And he was asked over and over again, refused to quote a single verse because he didn't know any, because he never read the Bible. And he never read the Bible because he's not in the Bible. If he's not in the Bible, it can't be an important book if Donald Trump isn't in it. And so when Trump did all these things, of course everything's going to come crashing down on him. And now we see the ultimate crashing down. God afflicts him with this virus. A month before the election, what could be a worse curse than that? And I don't think he's going to get reelected. I do not think he can get reelected at this point. I think he's going to lose. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and I urge people to vote for Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump, and everyone I know is going to vote for him. I think we have to vote for him because I think the other side is worse, but I am very pessimistic at this point. Very pessimistic. And then Trump did one other thing, aside from the terrible things he's done to Israel, to prove that these sick Jews. I mean, you've had so-called rabbis in the United States who said he was the Mashiach, who compared him to the Messiah, who were calling him a Messiah, Donald Trump, because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem and other nonsense. Moved the embassy to Jerusalem, but doesn't allow Jews to live there. Doesn't allow Jews to build there. Calls for a building freeze. How stupid, how sick, how retarded can you Jews be? And so they call the Jews were worshiping Trump. Oh, he's so good. And look, after all, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, that animal, who made a deal with the devil to rescue his bankrupt companies, were also going under. He had to rescue them with Arab money, and so he got money from the Persian Gulf countries who had bought him off a long time ago. They bought him off. But to prove that Trump is not a friend of the Jewish people, never was, never will be. To prove that, look at his refusal in the debate to denounce the Nazi Proud Boys. He himself mentions the Proud Boys. He himself says, Proud Boys, stand down. Remember he says that? Proud Boys, stand down. When he was asked over and over again, will you condemn them? He was repeatedly pressed, will you condemn them? Will you condemn them? Will you condemn them? So finally he says, I'll tell them this, Proud Boys, stand down. In other words, he refused to condemn them. He would not condemn them in the debate. And who are the Proud Boys? And Trump knows what he's doing, exactly what he's doing, because he copies tweets from all types of people and reads about these things. He knows exactly what he's dealing with. The Proud Boys are a Nazi group that openly march with Nazis carrying swastikas and chanting against the Jews in Charlottesville in 2017 and elsewhere. The Proud Boys were there together marching with open Nazis. And in fact, Kessler, the organizer of the Charlottesville march in 2017 of Nazis, where they were marching with candles and chanting and making and giving the type of chants saying Jews will not dominate us and chanting the type of things that were chanted in Nazi Germany in the 30s. The organizer there was a member of the Proud Boys, Kessler. He was the organizer of that march. Here's what the leader of the Proud Boys, Gavin McInnes, said on a video that he created. This is a video that Gavin McInnes created. The title of the video, first of all, is quote, 10 Things I Hate About the Jews, unquote. He did a video called 10 Things I Hate About the Jews. And here's what he said, quote, I felt myself defending the super far-right Nazis, unquote. In other words, he feels a need. He feels this need. He's so angered by the Jews, he feels this need to defend the super far-right Nazis. By the way, Nazis are not right-wing. Nazis are left-wing because Nazism is National Socialism. They're left-wing. But anyway, Gavin McInnes says that he has to defend the Nazis. Says it on the video. And then does Holocaust denying on the video. He starts denying the Holocaust, saying the Jews were not gassed. And then says, and I quote, I think it was 10 million Ukrainians who were killed. That was by Jews. That was by Marxist, Stalinist, left-wing, commie, socialist Jews, unquote. The Jews killed 10 million Ukrainians. With what army? With what? The Jews? Stalin is the one that killed the Ukrainians. Stalin murdered thousands of Jews, sent all the rabbis and Jews to Siberia and crushed Judaism completely. The Jews had no power. Even Jewish communists, even Jews who were communists in Russia, were put up in front of firing squads and murdered. The Jewish doctors plot. Stalin said Jewish doctors are trying to poison him. And this piece of subhuman filth, Gavin McInnes, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, this filthy piece of subhuman excrement says the Jews killed the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians who took tens of thousands of Jews in Babi Yar and made them dig graves and buried the Jews alive. Tens of thousands of Jews were buried alive in open graves. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered during the Holocaust, not by the German Nazis, but by the Ukrainian Nazis who fully supported Hitler and the Nazis. The Ukraine fully supported Hitler and the Nazis. And the Jews who were slaughtered and butchered by the Ukrainian Nazis, he turns it around now and says, no, it's the Jews who killed the Ukrainians. And he says in the video, quote, and he says in the video that Jews have, quote, a whiny paranoid fear of Nazis, unquote. A whiny paranoid fear of Nazis. And Trump says at the debate, he refuses to condemn them and says, Proud Boys, stand down. This is the same Trump that after Charlottesville, where you had open Nazis marching with swastikas and chanting Nazi chants openly, Trump said, there were very good people on both sides. He said, I'm sure there were very good people on both sides. In other words, on the Nazi side, there were very good people. And by the way, on the other side, the communists and the Antifa people, he would praise both sides. He said, he's sure there were very good people on both sides. In other words, he was He knew exactly what he was doing when he said that he was trying to praise the Nazis. He considers them to be his supporters. Can you imagine this? This is the type of president that Jews are worshiping. And remember in 2016, when he was asked if he condemns David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan, and he said, I don't know who David Duke is. I don't know anything about David Duke, which is a lie. He repeatedly spoke about David Duke in the year 2000 and earlier, many, many times, because he ran against David Duke for the nomination of the Reform Party in 2000. In 2000, he ran for president for the Reform Party in their primary. And David Duke ran against him. And he condemned David Duke and made speeches about David Duke. Then he condemned David Duke, not for being a Nazi. That doesn't bother Trump. He condemned him because he was running against him, because he condemns everybody he runs against. But for several days, you remember, he wouldn't condemn David Duke and the KKK. He said he didn't know enough about David Duke and the KKK to condemn them. This is no friend of the Jewish people, to say the least. And what he's done to Israel is a travesty, even though the insane Jews in Israel, they think it's wonderful being, you know, it's like the Jews being led to the gas chamber and this, and they're all, and they think they're going to the showers. Insanity, just insanity. That's why it's so important that JTF be here to tell the truth to the Jewish people. And we're doing that. We have an advertising campaign. We have 7 videos in Hebrew that are being advertised and brought to the people of Israel with the truth. Thousands of Jews every week are seeing our videos and are exposed at least to some message of truth. At least they're getting some truth from somebody. That's the best we can do right now to reach the people of Israel. It's the best we can do. If they would allow me to make Aliyah, to go to Israel and to run openly, and if Israel was a real democracy, which it's not, and they would allow me to run, it would be a very different story. I think I'd get a lot of support. But that's not permitted. I'm not even allowed to step foot in Israel. Every Arab murderer, every Arab terrorist, every vicious enemy of the Jewish people is welcome there with open arms, and I'm not even allowed to step foot in Israel. This is the insanity that we're dealing with. So that's the situation we have. And here's the good news. The good news is, despite whatever we see here, the prophets, Hanevi'im in the Bible, told us that this was going to be in the last generation, that when the Jews return to Israel, that's going to be Acharit HaYamim, which means the last days, that in the last days, this is what's going to be. Everything that's happening is exactly the way it was predicted it would happen. And so we are witnessing that right now. But in the end, the good guys are still going to win. The Jews are going to wake up, and the good guys are going to win, and the whole situation is going to be turned around in the end. But it doesn't mean that until then, we can't have terrible suffering and punishment and pain for all the stupid things that people do and all the bad decisions and all the evil decisions people make. So we have to warn people. We have to be out there as a voice of truth in the darkness, as a voice of light in the darkness. We've got a job. We've got a job and a task and a role to fulfill. But remember, don't ever despair, because in the end, we're going to win. I may not, the odds are against me living to see it. A couple of months, I'm going to be 64 years old. I'm already in my mid-60s. So the odds of me living to see it are not that great. And I don't know if the people in the audience are going to live to see it. It could be another couple of hundred years before the final redemption comes. The beginning of the redemption started in 1948 when the Jews returned to Israel. The final redemption, I don't know when that's going to come. But it will come. There's no doubt about it. Everything that God promises in that Bible comes true. Everything. If it's good, if it's something good, everything, it will always come true. I shouldn't have said that, because that means I don't want to start, because we ran out of time, so I don't want to have to start discussing the difference between good prophecies and bad prophecies. I don't even want to go into that. Bad prophecies do not have to happen if people turn around and get the message and change their ways. Good prophecies, though, always do happen in the end. That's one of the rules of prophecy, by the way, in the Bible. And so, let us go forward and continue Help JTF so we can reach as many Jews in Israel with the truth and prepare the Jews of Israel for what I think will be the Biden presidency, unfortunately. I hope not, but unfortunately, I think that will come now. And we've got to prepare Jews for a very difficult period and a very tough period where there'll be a lot of danger. And our job, again, is to alert Jews and wake them up because no one else is bringing them this truth. Join with us, participate with us, help us do this, because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.